all the day long, hopping and a bopping and a singing his song. All the little birds on Jaybird Street love to hear the robin go tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, tweet. Blow, Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock 'em tonight. Every little swallow, every chickadee, every little bird in the tall oak tree, the wise old owl, the big black crow, flap of their wings, singing go bird go. Rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, rock, rock, rockin' Robin, tweet, tweet, go Rockin' Robin, 'cause we're really gonna rock tonight.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. We're not going to talk about a robin today, but I do have a bird question later for our friends from Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center. And we are thrilled to chat it up right today with Jessie Eckrow. Jessie is an outreach program coordinator. She's the animal care coordinator, and she's also an interpretive naturalist, which I'm very interested in knowing what all of those things mean. Happy New Year to you. How are you, Jessie?
Oh, I'm so good, Mo. I am looking forward to a new year, wiping the slate clean, and hopefully this upcoming year is full of a lot of new, exciting things.
I agree, because it's been kind of tough for you, I'm sure. If you're the outreach program coordinator, you haven't had a lot of opportunities to reach out, have you?
That's very true. I am used to being up to my ears in programming, traveling around Minnesota and Wisconsin to schools and town festivals and community centers and libraries, and that just hasn't been happening because of the COVID pandemic. But everybody at Carpenter Nature Center has been working hard, and we've been doing our best to adapt programming to still be able to serve the community. So we've just been focusing on doing more kind of on-site activities, things that are self-led, and also things that, you know, encourage physical distancing so that everybody can stay nice and happy and healthy.
Well, I have to tell you, our family, but not me, sorry, our family went to Carpenter on New Year's Eve for your moonlight walk, and I guess it was just lovely, just wonderful. So that was well done. And I know also that the preschool programs are continuing, just in a little bit of a different format. Is that correct?
Absolutely. Yep. We'll start by mentioning that full moon New Year's Eve hike that you were talking about, that was very well attended. And if any of your listeners missed that program, or it sounds like you missed the program as well, we actually have another one of those coming up on January 29th. So that's another opportunity for folks to get out at Carpenter kind of after hours, enjoy the evening, enjoy the full moon, maybe get a chance to see or hear owls, things like that. So that programming is continuing as well. And then you mentioned the preschool programming. Like you said, we are continuing with that, but just in a different format, as opposed to having a program on a Friday morning, which is what we usually do, and get everybody together. We've basically created activities that families can come and pick up from the Nature Center over the course of a week. Our next one that we've got coming up here is called Shadows in the Snow, and that's from January 26th to January 31st. So folks can come out and pick up some activities from the Nature Center, do a little bit of hiking, and enjoy the outdoors in a way that keeps their families safe.
And tell us about the animal care piece of your job, because you still have your ambassador animals on site. Are you seeing that they're getting anxious to get out and about?
That is a great question. Yes. So because we haven't been doing outreach programming, we haven't been doing on-site programming, the animals haven't been getting as much interaction with the public as they normally do, especially because our visitor center is closed right now. But what we have been doing our best to do is do enrichment activities with them, just with the staff. So on any given day, you might peek your head into the visitor center and see all of the turtles out walking around on the carpet, or our staff naturalists will kind of cradle the snakes and hold them in the sunshine so that they can bask. And we provide toys and different activities for our birds. So even though this schedule is outside the norm for them as well, we've been making sure that they're keeping busy, just doing different things these days.
And that has to be something that is a crucial piece of what you do, because when you eventually will go back out, you want them to be socialized, or whatever the term is, right?
Absolutely. Yep. A big part of their training is being accustomed to and comfortable with human interaction. And so, you know, we can't just leave them alone to their own devices for days or weeks or months on end, because then they would become very stressed by any amount of human interaction that they're having. Whereas if we continue to daily handle them, talk to them, you know, and depending on the animal, you know, engage in play with them, that's going to help to make sure that their kind of mental health, so to speak, is still flourishing. So, yep, it's definitely an important part of their health.
And you have some new ambassadors, too, that have come to you during this COVID period, right?
Yes. And, you know, it just, this COVID period has been, it feels so long and so short at the same time, and everything is such a whirlwind that normally we, you know, really have big celebrations and, you know, we get really excited about advertising that we have new animal ambassadors. But due to COVID, you know, it's been a little less celebratory than normal. But two ambassadors of note that have come to our facility in recent months, we have a incredibly intelligent, beautiful common raven that now is housed at our facility. And we also have a beautiful barred owl that came from the Raptor Center at the University of Minnesota that is now at our facility as well. So those are two of kind of the most exciting additions that we've had recently.
And did they come with their own tricks, or are you teaching them things?
That is a great question. When we take on a new animal ambassador, they, you know, come from many different life circumstances. And it is the case that sometimes they come to us having had many, many years of training. And so we just kind of do maintenance training sessions with them, continuing to do the training that they have already been doing, maybe teaching them some new things. And that's definitely the case with the raven that we have. She was up at Wolf Ridge ELC for many, many years, received excellent care and a lot of training from the staff up there. So we're continuing to provide that same level of care for her at the Nature Center, and then trying some new things with her from time to time. But our barred owl that we have at the Nature Center now, she's barely a year old. So she doesn't have really any training, except that what she has received with the staff at Carpenter Nature Center so far. And, you know, it might not seem like a trick, but even just getting those animals used to having humans stand next to them is
right,
a really big deal. So that's what we're working on with the barred owl. And she's been doing pretty well so far.
Oh, it must be so fun and so rewarding.
It absolutely is. It can be challenging and frustrating at times as well, though. So it's up and down for sure. But all in all, it is a very, very rewarding thing to care for and train the animal.
When you said that the raven is very smart, what makes it smart, or what stands out to you?
Oh, wow. There are so many things. When we humans think about being smart or other smart animals, oftentimes we look to other animals within our same primate group. You know, so we think of, you know, different kinds of apes, chimpanzees, baboons, and types of monkeys and things like that. But there are other species and groups of animals that have the same level of intelligence as primates, and even many of them are as smart as human children. And one of the ways that we kind of measure that is their problem-solving ability. So not only do humans and other primates use tools to solve problems, ravens do as well. So what we do is we will, for example, hide her food in different containers or kind of lock it up. And watching her, you know, use different objects in her environment to interact with the food and enrichment that we provide to her, and just watching her work through how to open things is amazing. Mm. But, you know, some other things, too, that are really remarkable is just her memory and the number of things that she knows as kind of command. One of my favorite things about her is that she knows her colors. So you can say to her to pick up a certain color of block, and she knows exactly which one you're talking about. And the most exciting thing that we've been working with her on recently, well, in my opinion, it's the most exciting, is we found her a little piano that has colored keys.
Come on.
And so we tell her which color of key to hit, and she can play music.
Come on.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Oh,
Mom?
My gosh. It is. That is so awesome. Won't that be fun for you once you get out and do some more outreach with people? People are going to go crazy about that.
Yeah, they'll be very excited about it. Yeah, the Raven, she won't probably be traveling for outreach just because she's used to kind of being more of an enclosure bird, being more of a display bird. But we do plan on integrating her into a lot of our on-site programming. So having folks come by her enclosure and having her
have a concert.
Absolutely.
Jesse, I know that you are working with the City of Hastings on an upcoming fishing program. Can you tell us about that, please?
Absolutely. So we actually have two upcoming fishing programs. The first one is this coming Saturday, so January 9th. That is a partnership that we've had with the City of Hastings for several years now. So if folks have participated in that programming in the past, they'd be fairly familiar with the layout of it. We are heading out to Lake Rebecca. We'll have all of the equipment provided. We have some volunteers and staff that are very knowledgeable about fishing. They can teach folks what to do. And of course, we have lots of procedures and policies in place to ensure, you know, that everybody's staying safe during the time of COVID. This one is a little bit different than past years, just in the sense that we are requiring pre-registration for that program, and you have to get a hold of the City of Hastings to do that if there are still spots available. But yep, that one's coming up on January 9th, and we also tentatively have one scheduled for the month of February, but that date and time is to be determined right now, kind of based on how things go for us out at Lake Rebecca this weekend.
Tell us a little bit about what's going on your Wisconsin campus, because I know that there are some big, big plans.
Absolutely. Yep. So when I said at the beginning of our conversation that I'm looking forward to 2021 being a very new and exciting year, I know for sure that it will be for Carpenter Nature Center, because we have some really exciting things going on at our Wisconsin campus that are plans that we have had in the works for 30 plus years.
What?
At this point. Carpenter Nature Center as an organization is turning 40 years old this year. Most people are familiar with our Minnesota campus, which is kind of the start of our facility. But we also have land just south of Hudson in Wisconsin, and that first parcel of land was donated about 30 years ago. And so ever since that first parcel of land was donated, we've been acquiring more land over there, and we have been dreaming about having a visitor center facility there to help increase access to nature for the communities of Hudson and River Falls and the folks kind of over on the Wisconsin side of the river. But it's actually a really, really easy site to access even from the Twin Cities metro area, because it's not that far off of Highway 94. So we've been working hard for years trying to get all of our ducks in a row for this visitor center project, and it is finally happening, Mo. We're so, so excited. We have already started some of the site work. So a little bit of work to create a driveway and just some of the very basic land moving that we need to get done so that we can break ground this spring and hopefully be able to open up by this autumn, which is just so, so exciting. And we welcome anybody to ask us questions about the aspect. We love talking about it. We love sharing information about it. We can, you and I could have an hour-long conversation just about that campus.
Oh, my gosh. That's pretty cool. Well, congratulations to you. That's wonderful, wonderful news. So keep us posted on that. Lastly, before we go, I really want to talk about this painted bunting bird that was, I actually sent a picture of it to Jen because it was the most beautiful bird I've ever seen in my whole life. I'm fascinated by this. Tell me about this bird, and am I going to see one anytime soon around here?
Well, that is a great question, but I have a question for you first.
Yes.
How did you hear about the painted bunting?
Well, I saw it was on the news, and I saw a picture of it, and I thought, oh, it must be some anomaly, some bird that was crossed with other birds, because it's really every color of the rainbow. It was so pretty.
Yes, they really are. They're called painted buntings for a reason. They have blue and red and greens and yellows all over their body. And unfortunately, it is not a common bird for us to see in Minnesota and Wisconsin. They are more commonly found farther south in the United States and into Central America. From time to time, we have a straggler bird, a wandering painted bunting that makes its way up here, but that is quite rare. And so from time to time, you will see a rare bird like that on the news if it's spotted in this area because it is so uncommon. So yeah, they're very, very stunning birds, lots of different colors. But fun fact, and Mo, you and I have had conversations about this in the past.
Uh-oh.
It's only the boy birds that are the colorful ones when it comes to the painted buntings. So the boy bird is the picture that you sent us that has all of the beautiful colors, whereas the female painted bunting is kind of a dull kind of brownish, greenish, yellow color. And that is something that's very very common in the animal kingdom as far as birds are concerned, for the males to be bright and the females to be kind of brownish. It's called sexual dimorphism when the males and females look different.
And is that so that when the female is on a nest, she is more hidden?
Yes, exactly. You do remember our chats about this. Yeah, that is so that females who are the bird in the couple that oftentimes does the majority of the child rearing, so to speak, they're the ones that are most often on the nest, incubating the eggs and taking care of the babies. They're more camouflaged in that situation. So the baby birds are also more dull colored, even if they are males, for a similar reason. And the males are as fancy colored as they are because they need to be able to attract a female during mating season. The more beautiful and colorful a male is, the more likely he is to get a girlfriend.
Jesse.
It's kind of opposite than it is for humans in a way. You know, we ladies are the ones that are putting on all the makeup and doing the bright colors and stuff like that. But in the bird world, it is the other way around.
Jesse, I always learn a lot from you.
You are so kind, Mo.
Jesse Eckerl, we really appreciate it when you call in. Carpenter St. Croix Valley Nature Center is open with their wonderful trails, and we hope that people take advantage of it. Thank you for all the great information, and congratulations on all the successes of Carpenter. We're so happy for you. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.